Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10.
I got here some 2.5 years ago.
God bless. Bye-bye.
And the church I came from in Colorado Springs did not have a Boy Scout troop. And I got here and the rush of things that I had to do that were not associated with Boy Scouts consumed me for the first 90, 120 days that I was here. And I got very focused on other things. Then I had one of these Holy Spirit God moments happened. And the Boy Scouts invited me to a ceremony where two young men became Eagle Scouts. Something happened. I'm not sure what caused me to be an hour late. I think maybe I read the invitation wrong. I thought it said 7 o'clock and it was over 6 o'clock. But I got there in time to hear Doug Williams get up and talk a little bit about his own story. Two boys that day had partly wanted to be together because they both had had the loss of a parent. But Doug had the additional impact to his life of the fact that he was autistic. And the more he talked, the more I leaned into the conversation, the more I listened, the more attentive I became, and my heart became warmed. I just felt like I had been given this sacred responsibility to ensure that the Boy Scouts that I had inherited would be passed off to someone else in the same health that I had inherited. I went over to Doug Orr after the ceremony was over, and I told Doug how I was affected by that, how I was touched by that, how my heart was warmed. And Doug is sort of an aw shucks, no big deal kind of guy. And he said, that's no big deal. Don't worry about it. That's who we are. It's no big deal. I'm glad it's who you are. I really am glad it's who you are, Doug. But it's a very, very big deal. On behalf of this church and to all the leaders of the Boy Scouts and the Venture Crew and the Cub Scouts, I want to say to all of you, thank you very much for the leadership you provide. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
That night, Doug was being given a symbol, a physical symbol that he could put on his scout uniform, which told us we could look at him and know that he was an Eagle Scout. Cubs, Boy Scouts, Venture, they all have the same kind of element there, that there's some accoutrements that they wear that lets us know what's going on with their progress within the group. They have these sashes that they wear that have their merit badges on it. So you can get this physical representation of where they are within the scouting program. John Schmick, who is preaching down in American Fork today, he's a Presbyterian Church of the United States of America pastor, but worships here most of the time with us. We'll get him to be a Methodist sooner or later. He's down at American Fork, and he tells the story in Seattle of a family some 40 years ago, mother, father, two children, which went out on Christmas and had a picture made with Santa Claus. And the next year they did the same thing. And the next year they did the same thing. And then as brothers and sisters arrived, they would keep going down and taking the same picture. And they would keep the picture. And so now they've done this for 40 years. And so now you can walk into this room and you can see this progression, this physical progression of two adults, two children, two adults, three children, 5 to 6. And then time goes by and you can watch these boys and girls become young adults. Then you begin to watch grandchildren appear, watch mom and dad age a little bit. But you can physically see the change that has occurred. Boy Scouts, you can see the change that's occurring by looking at their uniforms. Sometimes we can see the change if we look at time, look at photographs over time, we can see this change as it occurs. But sometimes the question might be, how do you see the change in your spiritual life? How do you measure that? What does it look like? I wonder if part of it's not this passage that Doug read to us there, that Marilyn also talked to. Which, by the way, Doug, I thought you went, awe, like awe, like awe, awe, shucks, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Awe, awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. Who are the apostles? Those that are sent out. The sent out. All who believed were together and had things in common. They would sell their possessions. Don't worry, they got over that. We're not asking anybody here to do that today. It's okay. We won't ask you to do that. And goods, and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they began much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home. Broke bread at home. And ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Boy Scouts, we can see these physical symbols they have on their clothing. This wall in Seattle, we can see the physical change. But within a church, it's more like what this passage out of Acts was. It's this idea of the fact that we gather together, study God's Word, study what the apostles heard from Jesus of what was important, broke bread together, and prayed together. That's what God invites us to do. That's what the church looks like when it is trying to grow itself in discipleship. Our words, our vision for ourselves here at Hilltop is that we want to be a place where you can belong, believe, and become. Tim talked to that element when he was 16 years old. His life was changed, not based upon what he believed in the beginning. It wasn't some kind of belief structure. You must believe this in order to be part of the Hilltop Boy Scouts. They invited him instead to belong. To belong. Don't you think that's what was going on there in the temple? Don't you think that's what was going on there when they came into the temple and they went out to homes together to break bread together and to share community together? They invited each other to first belong. And I'm mindful of the fact that this can be sometimes a challenging place to belong. So that's one of the first things that God invites us to do, that Jesus, through his community called the church, invites us to do. This passage here comes to us right after the Holy Spirit has visited. We sometimes get this story messed up. We keep saying we're Easter people. And we have this idea somehow that all of a sudden on Easter morning, the stone is rolled away and miraculously everybody gets it. That's not the message. The message is actually quite the opposite. It takes an extended period of time for the message to grow, the message to mature, the world around them to change. This reading here has occurred at least 7 weeks after Easter. At least 7 weeks. And Jesus has departed. And again, just as with Good Friday, the disciples are dispirited. They're challenged. How do we lead our lives together? And God gives them what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes in and whoosh! It's noisy. It's chaotic. It's crazy. Things happen which shake up the group. Peter wanders out. Peter, the guy who could never have a moment where he couldn't potentially put his foot in his mouth, he goes out there, and what does he do? He preaches a sermon where thousands come to God. Then we have this passage here. Once you've been converted, what happens? You gather in the temple. You study God's word. You get into community. You break bread together, and then your numbers continue to grow. That's how the church measures itself. This piece of music that we sang today, that the choir sang to you, I think the verse that we sang there, frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. The book of Acts is about God's gift of the Holy Spirit, but we know that God's Holy Spirit dwells in you. Genesis 2 tells us that. Genesis 2 tells us that God gives us this gift of the Holy Spirit, shapes us out of the clay of the ground, shapes us, and God leans over and breathes into us and gives us our soul, this part of God which is in no one else. You hear me? Talk to that every time we do a baptism. You're going to hear it one of the two services next week. We're going to do a baptism. It's this reminder of the fact that God's Spirit, God's candle, is inside of us. But sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we lose our way in this ability to turn to others and figure out a way to help turn this candle on. The Anglican Church of the 17th century was appalled that Quakers would sit down and try to figure out a way to learn how to turn on this candle themselves. George Fox, that was his objective, was to help those in that community, that Quaker community, to learn how to turn on that candle themselves. It would take the power of the clergy away, and it would give it to who? It would give it to you. And how did the Quakers believe you learn how to do that? You did that by study of this book. They invite you to belong. And then they invite you to go deeper and enrich yourself by understanding why it is you believe what it is that you believe. We are blessed to have this Boy Scout, Cub Scout, Venture crew here. Venture group here. I said it right the first time, didn't I? 2.5 years ago, I said, that I came in on one night and I said, that's the Explorers, right? And Doug says, you've been away from scouting for a while. 20 years, is that about right? 20 years? Scouting has worked hard here at Hilltop, trying to help boys and now girls to venture learn how to turn on this inner light, to be part of turning on that inner light. It's a change that I think is profound and meaningful. Their objective isn't to produce Eagle Scouts. That's a byproduct of what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do is to produce people of character. People of character in the world that will be able to help others learn how to turn on their own inner light. John mentioned to you that our goal in Lent is to see if maybe you can step up and take an extra hour of your time. Actually, what we're asking you to do is give up an hour. Sometimes you give up chocolate. Marilyn's proposed that a couple of times. I've turned her down. You could give up chocolate. Well, okay. If you can't give up chocolate, could you give up an hour of your time? Could you give up an hour? John talked about it. We have some brochures back on the welcoming area there. But it's a chance for us to say, I want to go deeper. Belong, believe, so that I can become. It's this idea of the fact that maybe just maybe, there's something that God has to say to me. And maybe John Davidson's class at 9 o'clock, maybe Barry Welliver's class at 9 o'clock, maybe in David Huff's new class at 10:30. I know some of you are here, you'd have to say, well, 10:30, I've got to be here at 9 o'clock to worship. Yep, that's right. Be here at 9 o'clock. He's going to do some stuff there where it's going to be sort of theology 101, or maybe you could be in John Collins's class at 9 o'clock. Surrounded by other confirmands as you try to understand sort of a Christianity 101. I can't tell you the number of people that come up to me and say, I don't understand this whole Christianity stuff. I don't understand this Methodism stuff. So Christianity is going to be, we're going to start that February 22nd. And it's all about improving how understanding what it is you believe so that you can become what God invites you to become in God's world. You can belong here. You can belong here without giving up one extra hour a week. I just invite you and encourage you to deepen your knowledge and become someone who increases what it is they believe so they can become what God has called them to become. So that we can do what? So that we can go out into God's world and we can light candles. We can be light to those that owe only darkness. The 9 o'clock service, I had my little name tag on. I wear my name tag almost everywhere I go. And wherever I go, people want to talk to me about their own journey. And sometimes, sadly, their journey is a journey of brokenness. It's a journey where they don't feel invited to belong. They instead get invited into this world of tests and criteria. I took France Davis, who's the pastor at Calvary Baptist, out to lunch on Friday. A young lady came to be our waitress, and she talked to us. And the man across the street from her has told her that unless she believes what he believes, she's damned and going to go to hell. That's sad, isn't it? That is so sad. I would pray that no one from Hilltop ever operates that way. I would pray that instead we would invite people to understand God's grace and the power of God's grace and how God's grace sets us free. We can take the crap that exists in our life and we can walk in here and we can place it right there. We can now set out into God's world in order to be change agents in God's world. In a few moments, we're going to sing the words from Go to the World. It's not in your hymnal. Go to the world, go struggle, bless, and pray. The nights of tears give way to joyous day. As servant church, what a concept. As servant church, in other words, we serve the world rather than come in here to be served ourselves. You follow Christ's own way. I invite you all to remember who we are as Hilltop. Hilltop is a place where you're invited to belong. Belong when you're a 16-year-old kid, comes in from Arizona, doesn't have any friends, and feels like an outsider. And as a result of that, welcoming him, you've changed his life. I don't know how it is you measure. There's not names out here in the narthex, out here in the lobby, where you can sit here and say, lives changed. Wouldn't it be great if we could have an eagle ceremony for the lives altered here? But the reality is that we are altering lives. We are altering those lives. And how do we do that? By coming in together. Listening to what the apostles remembered about who Jesus was and what Jesus said was important in the world. Breaking bread together in community. And then being sent out into God's world in such a way that we make a change in the way the fabric of the world is. That's who we are invited to do. We're out to be invited to go out to God's world. So that others can know the power of God's redeeming grace. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come in and we sing things like, Spirit of God, bright flame, sent us in your holy name, the power to heal, the power to share your love everywhere. We know we cannot fail or fall or no defeat because we are held in your hands, born on your wings, and we sing, Alleluia, come, Holy Spirit, come. And all of God's children say, Amen. Please stand as you are able.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.